Come and let the Lord show you the way to your destiny without delay. He has predestined your life before the beginning of time. So why don't you let God show you?
Welcome to Destiny Moments with Angel Murchison, where I interview real people with real issues and a real destiny. Today joining me in the studio is Marilyn Taylor from Easton, Maine. Thank you for joining me today, Marilyn.
Nice to be with you, Angel.
Marilyn, I understand the Lord's given you a word for our listeners today about grace.
Yes, He did, and it's in a little different format. I often get analogies or parables, however you want to call it. And this one's in the form of a little murder mystery, which is highly unusual. I'm going to be reading from what you might call a script, because this is just the way the Lord gave it to me, and this is the way people need to really hear it. A very wealthy, powerful, influential man's daughter has been murdered. She was the most beautiful, kind, loving person you could ever meet. I believe she was her father's favorite, although many would assume that his oldest son is his favorite. So let's take a look into this mystery here. You know, in murder investigations, the police always look at the family first. And let's see who's going to investigate here. If I were to hire an investigator, it would be Hercule Poirot. He's suave, sophisticated, very intelligent, patient, and collects all evidence carefully before he makes a decision. He gathers all the suspects in one room and lays out his findings. The offender is stirred and acknowledges his or her guilt by confession or by trying to flee. In either case, they are arrested. And that's what God wants to do with this message. He wants to arrest some of us. So the victim's name in our mystery here is Grace. And our title is, Who Murdered Grace? So let's look at who the suspects are. First of all, Grace's family, as I said, the police always look at the family first. The father, well, he dotes on Grace and wants everybody to know her. She has a brother. Her brother's name is Word, and Word is Grace's big brother. He looks out for Grace and would give his life to protect her. Word wants everyone to know and appreciate Grace for how wonderful she is. Word has a best-selling book out about Grace. Grace has a sister. The sister's name is Love. They look so much alike that people think they're twins. Love wants everyone to meet Grace. Love is never jealous of Grace. She has an uncle. The uncle is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is Grace's uncle. He is so powerful, everyone says he's a weightlifter. The Spirit wants everyone to know Grace, and he never tires of telling people about her. He keeps inviting people over for dinner with Grace. She also has a cousin. The cousin is Faith. Faith is Grace's cousin, and they're pretty close. As a matter of fact, Faith is Grace's personal chauffeur. Grace's sister Love bought Faith the car. Word and Spirit get together and send out invitations for dinner at Grace's house. Faith always beats a path to come and get it. If you get an invitation from Word and Spirit, Faith will pick you up and drive you to Grace's place. That is the only way you can get to Grace's house, by faith. It's obvious this family is very close, very close-knit and supportive. They have no motive for killing Grace, so we're going to have to look somewhere else. Well, we have another suspect here. His name is Sinner. Sinner is a neighbor. Word and Spirit have tried to invite Sinner over to meet Grace and Father. They told Sinner how wonderful Grace is, but Sinner thinks she's too good to be true. Sinner is also afraid of Father. Even if Grace is as wonderful as they say, how could he ever impress her father? Word and spirit keep trying to convince Sinner that she's Father's daughter, but he isn't convinced. Since we can't even place Sinner close to Grace, he couldn't possibly have done this. In fact, he doesn't even believe she exists. So there's got to be somebody else. Oh, we have one more suspect. This suspect's name is Saint. We have discovered an adopted sibling named Saint. Saint got into the family because Father chose him. He had word and spirit send an invitation to meet Grace, and Saint accepted. And faith drove him to the house. They all loved Saint and took him in as one of their own. Saint lives in another town but is in communication with the family. Sometimes he comes over with Faith for dinner. But lately he would rather cook up something on his own. It's never as good, but he likes the feeling of accomplishment and being in control. Although Saint got into the family without any effort of his own to impress them, he recently has been listening to someone named Legalism, who has a daughter named Works. Legalism and Works keep telling Saint that he needs to impress Grace's father, or they won't want him around. Faith tells us that Saint has been ignoring her and Grace, and rumor has it he's dating someone called Works. The whole family is heartbroken, and Father can't believe Saint would ignore someone so wonderful as Grace. She had been so kind to him and was always cooking up something terrific for him. Spirit just sits in the corner and groans for Saint. Word wonders how Saint could ignore his invitations that were once so special to him. Faith is having the car washed and waxed and hopes he'll go over to Grace's soon. It seems for a time Saint still came by, but he had Legalism drop him off. He mowed the lawn and worked on things around the house, but his heart wasn't in it. Finally, Saint ran off with Works because she made him feel important. She stroked his ego and made him feel like he was in control. Witnesses say he's not the same man. There isn't any joy in his life without Grace and visits to the family. So our conclusion is, at the end of this investigation, that it would seem that Grace died of natural causes. She died of a broken heart because of Saint. She was so tender-hearted. Didn't he know he was family and didn't need to impress anyone? Sure, Father asked him to do a few things, but that was to bless others and introduce him to Grace. Father wants to adopt more like Saint. We have an epitaph. Grace's father, her sister Love, her brother Word, Uncle Spirit, and cousin Faith all hope to resurrect Grace and bring Saint back. All things are possible. If Saint would only realize that he doesn't need to impress anyone, he's family. He needs to do what Father asked him, but from his heart for others. Word told him good works cause others to glorify Father. So, Angel, the Lord is trying to paint a very simple picture here of what many of us fall into. It seems to us still, even though we're born again because of Grace, it just seems so easy. It just seems so unbelievable that we don't have to do a bunch of stuff to impress God or to keep Him loving us. But that's just not true. He asks us to do things because he wants to help others and he wants to introduce others to Grace. Not to impress him, not to make us feel better or anything like that. But so easily we fall into works. And we get confused about what's works and what's, you know, everything gets so confused in our minds. And we've heard so many things and put under so much pressure and we put ourselves under pressure. And keep falling into that ditch where we're trying to please God somehow by doing something. And really, He just wants faith and obedience. Because He already loves us as much as He's ever going to. We're already accepted in Christ as much as we're ever going to be accepted. And just like Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of any works, lest anyone could boast." You know, God found all of us guilty so that we all needed to come by grace. We're all equally on the same footing in guilt, and we all become equally on the same level by grace. So there is no effort to get into that grace except faith. Just believe in what God told us in the first place. So the other thing that people get confused about is you can't be in grace at works at the same time. Romans 11, 5 and 6 tell us, "Even so that at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." So it's like oil and water. We can't mix them. They don't mix. It's not works. It's just simple obedience. But it's what God asks us to do, not what we try to come up with to make him happy. Even if we could come up with something good enough in our imagination to make God happy, I don't know what that would be except loving him, obeying him, and just being faithful.
And loving others.
That's what he's after. Because we're still here. I mean, he could beam us up, Scotty, if he wanted to, but we're still here because other people are lost. Other people are hurting. And the works that we do for God that he designed, we do them by grace, by his abilities. We can't do any of this stuff by our own abilities. All of us who have tried it know how frustrating that is, and it just does not work at all. So we have to just pray and listen to God for instructions and follow those instructions in his timing, by his abilities. Like he said in the Old Testament, you know, I want obedience more than sacrifice. It's not sacrifice I'm after, it's obedience. Those sacrifices were just to teach us lessons. So, I really believe that a lot of people in the body have fallen into works, sometimes even without realizing it, really. And I think a lot of times it's because it's a lack of revelation of how much God really does love us. And that there's nothing else you can do to make him love you anymore. He already does. All we had to do was accept Jesus. How easy was that? You know? And so, you know, in Galatians, the whole letter of Galatians was written to that church because someone had come and convinced them to get into works. Convinced them, you know, maybe you need to go ahead and get circumcised. Maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to do that. And Paul wrote that letter to say, what are you thinking? Who's bewitched you? I don't frustrate, he says in chapter 2, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. This is a serious matter to God because Jesus has paid a tremendous price at God's command. And the Godhead has designed all of this to set us free and keep us free. And yet we are tricked into falling into works once again and being in bondage to works. And God doesn't want that. He wants his people to be at peace and flowing in that grace and just listening for instruction and just simply in obedience and love, carrying out that instruction with his power and his grace, his enablement, so that we get the results that God wanted in the first place, which is more people brought into the kingdom of God. So we're really in a grace factory, so to speak, working for God to bring people to grace. So Paul said in chapter 3 of Galatians in verse 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh, by works of the flesh?" No. We're not perfected by anything that we do. It's still a work of the Spirit in our hearts and always will be. So I think people need to come back to a clarity in their hearts of just what it is we're really doing and examining ourselves and saying, am I in works or am I Am I really listening to God? Am I trying to impress God? Am I seeking what He wants me to do, or am I on my own plan? Because a lot of times Christians are frustrated because they're on their own plan and have lost sight of where God really wants them to be. It's like getting on the wrong train in a station and ending up in a town you didn't plan to go to. And it's like, how did I get here? You know? Well, you need to go to the station master and find out where your ticket was really for, so to speak. In Galatians 3, he says in verse 11, and many of us have heard this verse many, many times, and it's other places in the scripture, but the just shall live by faith. And that's because faith accesses grace. Remember our analogy, faith was the taxi driver that got us over to the house of grace and to be with grace. And God gives us that faith through His Word. We don't even have to buy the car, you know, so to speak. He furnishes everything that we need. If we would just realize He's got absolutely everything we need to carry out this life that He's asking us to live. And we don't have to come up with anything. I find that so refreshing and so relaxing when you truly get that revelation, I don't have to come up with anything to make God happy. It's like a child in a family, you know. I'm seeing, like, imagine a whiteboard in a house where you have a bunch of kids and you put up chores. And the chores aren't going to make mom and dad love you. The chores are what mom and dad are asking you to do, and they've taught you how to do them. And they give you everything you need to do those chores, whether it's a vacuum cleaner or some pledge or whatever it is. And you carry out the chore, and the parent is pleased because you were obedient and did the chore, and you might even get a reward. You might get an up in your allowance, you know, or whatever, but mom and dad love you whether you did that chore or not. They're not happy that you didn't obey, and there's going to be some consequences for not obeying, but it has nothing to do with mom and dad loving you. They just love you. And that's God. He just loves you. And I really sense in my spirit that there are people listening to this message who need so desperately to get it in their hearts. God truly, truly, truly loves you. He loved you before you met Him. He loves you if you're listening to this by divine appointment and you don't know Christ. And He wants you to know, I love you before you even accept me. That's why I did everything that you need to enable you to come to me, to meet Christ. And if you're my child, I love you no matter whether you do everything or not. I want you to do it because it's going to bless you if you do. It's going to help others if you do. There are rewards if you do. And staying in obedience will keep you safe from the enemy. But I love you no matter what. And I just feel like there are people who are even weeping in their spirits. I'm seeing a picture of someone weeping in their spirit and crying out to God because they've lost sight of the fact that God truly loves them. I don't know, maybe you've made a mistake. Maybe you've fallen into sin. Something's happened in your life and you're desperate. I'm seeing a woman who is desperate and she's crying. And God wants you to know that He loves you. And that all you have to do is run back to your daddy. And just talk to your daddy and get this thing straightened out because your God loves you. He's not looking at you and what you've done to decide whether or not He loves you. He already loves you. And He wants to free you of that thing that you're crying out about. So, finally in chapter 5 of Galatians, he says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect to you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Many times in sermons I've heard that expression, you're fallen from grace, to mean that you've gone into sin. But in the context of Galatians here, he's really talking about you've gone into an area where you've decided that I have to do things to please God. I have to go back under the law. I have to meet all the rules or God won't love me. And he said, you've gone out of the area of grace and you've gone into the area of works again. You've put yourself under the law. And I came to free you from that. Christ came to free you from that. And if you stay in that, then Jesus is no effect to you. All you have to do is change your attitude, get your mind renewed to this grace message, and step back into that area of grace and that area of rest. That's where rest is, in that grace. So I would say to those who are listening and have fallen into that place, sit down with the scriptures in Galatians and let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Let him refresh your spirit in the scriptures of grace once again, so that your heart comes back into that place of rest. So I've found really many times that, and I think we've seen examples of it, all of us, in our walks and watching other people, that a lot of times if you preach the cross of grace, you are persecuted. If you preach the pure gospel, you come under persecution. Jesus promised it. But oftentimes if you start preaching legalism, people either don't care, and or they actually like it. And the reason some people like it is it makes them feel in control, and they feel like there's something they can do to make God happy. But again, that's not what he wants. So let's keep this thing in grace where God put it in the first place. This all came about because of grace. That's how we're saved. That's how we're set free. And God wants us to stay in that place of grace. So I don't know how much time we have left here, but I want to conclude part of this with what the Lord put on my heart when I first got this message. Was to sum it up, is it was God's grace that chose to crucify Jesus so that we could be free. The law pronounced us guilty. Grace has pronounced us blameless before God because of the blood of Jesus. Let's not frustrate that grace by living in legalism and works and trying to impress God. Don't confuse obedience and faithfulness out of love with flesh-driven dead works. So all we're really saying is let's stay in that flow of God's Spirit. Let's stay in that place of rest of grace. Let's trust in God's faithfulness to love us, just like he said.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. An incredible word that is. Would you take a few moments and pray for our listeners before we end tonight?
Certainly. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word that sets us free and keeps us free. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who leads and guides us and teaches us. Father, I thank you for everyone listening, Lord, that you love every single one of them. Father, I pray that you would make that a true revelation in their hearts. Father, I thank you that you're drawing those who don't know you yet. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts with this word of peace and freedom and liberty in you, Father. And for every brother and sister in Christ who has fallen into that place of works and frustration, I pray that this word has touched their heart. I pray that they will search the scriptures about grace, that they will allow those scriptures to touch their heart and change them and set them free of works. We're here to obey and bless and bring others to Christ, and we need to do that in a spirit of grace and peace. I thank you, Father, that your kingdom is freedom and liberty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Marilyn, and thank you, listeners. If you'd like a copy of today's broadcast, write to Destiny Moments with Angel Murchison, P.O. Box 1177, Presque Isle, Maine, 04769. Join us again for another broadcast of Destiny Moments.
Come and let the Lord show you the way to your destiny without delay.
Again, if you have enjoyed today's broadcast and would like a copy, please write to Destiny Moments with Angel Murchison, Post Office Box 1177, Presque Isle, Maine, Postal Code 04769.